Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, it is Thursday, 3 o'clock, so you'd think that means the TD Power Hour. TD will be with us at 5 o'clock. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, will be with us at 5 o'clock. We will have the draft preview show, a two-hour special, right here on ESPN 102.5. The game, we cannot wait, so save all those thoughts, all those questions, everything for TD, because we are loaded. We will literally go position by position of need for the Titans and who could be there in the first round. What about the second round? What about day three? Things of that magnitude. And trust me, there is nobody that knows this team like those two guys. And of course, we'll have our draft show a week from today. Caroline Fenton, Mark Howard will be with us, so we will be locked and loaded like you have never seen before for a Titans draft show. Now, the draft. Everybody talks about need. Need, need, need. I'm watching TV today. Najee Harris, Alabama. Need, needy. Pittsburgh needs a running back. Pittsburgh, they could take him. Need, need, need. Everybody, let's talk about needs. What are the needs? Todd McShay has draft needs. Everybody wants to talk about needs. And I think, well, obviously, everybody at some point has to take a knee. I am best player available in general. But if you get to the fourth round of this year's draft and you don't have a tight end, you're probably going to have to take one. But I think about long-term needs. Because I think that's really where the draft's important. And I'll use two obvious examples, two over-the-top examples. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't need a quarterback in 2017. They had gone to the playoffs. They had the second seed in the AFC. They had lost at home to Big Ben in Pittsburgh. No harm there. Peyton Manning has lost home playoff games to Big Ben in Pittsburgh. Nothing crazy. But they loved Patrick Mahomes. They knew Alex Smith wasn't their guy long-term. They got aggressive. And they moved up. And I'm telling you, these guys don't give up first-round picks like they did giving up two in order to get Patrick Mahomes unless they feel like they need somebody. When the Green Bay Packers selected Aaron Rodgers, we all know they didn't need him. Even last year, they didn't need Jordan Love. But I go back to, again, those are immediate needs that a lot of people want to fill. Like, oh, we need a linebacker, draft a linebacker. That's an immediate need. What about long-term needs? In Kansas City, they knew that was a long-term need that eventually they had to upgrade a quarterback. In Green Bay, they knew Brett Favre was towards the end of his tenure. So they needed to replace Brett Favre, or they needed to have a plan in place to replace Brett Favre. So while we talk about the needs of the Titans, and they're legitimate, they don't have a starting tight end right now. They don't have a slot receiver. They don't have any depth at corner. They could still always use help at pass rusher. They don't have long-term answers at tackle. They have immediate needs. But what about the long-term needs? Free agents this year. Ben Jones gone after this year. Starting center. Ben Jones is 32 years old. You don't re-sign a bunch of 33-year-old centers for big money. Both the middle linebackers, Jayon Brown, is gone. And Rashawn Evans, we all will assume, will not have his fifth-year option picked up. So inside linebacker, long-term, is probably a need. David Long Jr., for example, doesn't seem like the kind of guy who I would assume they plan on starting for an extended period of time. So that's two inside linebackers. All of the tight ends are free agents at the end of the year. They don't have a starting tight end right now. Anthony Firkser is a free agent at the end of the year. Jeff Swaim is a free agent at the end of the year. And then think about these cap numbers. Think about the offensive line again. And think about the cap numbers. Again, Ben Jones, starting center, gone at the end of the year. He's getting old. Roger Saffold carries a cap hit next year of $12.875 million. The dead cap hit, if they were to release Saffold, who's currently 33 years old and gets hurt from time to time, would be $2.375 million. I'd say it's at best 50-50 that Roger Saffold returns in 2022. So that's a guard that you would have to replace. What about Taylor Lewan? We already know Kendall Lamb and Ty Sambrylo, those are backups. those aren't starters. Now, one of them's going to start at right tackle for the Titans, like Dennis Kelly started for the Titans last year. But what about Taylor Lewan? We all feel like Taylor Lewan is here, and Taylor Lewan's never going anywhere, and Taylor Lewan has missed half of the games over the last 2 years. Both were freak incidents, a PED suspension and a torn ACL. Taylor Lewan this year is due $13.69 million. Anybody else notice that they didn't restructure his contract? Do you know why they didn't restructure Taylor Lewan's contract? They had two contracts that would be very simple to restructure to come up with more money. Ryan Tannehill and Taylor Lewan's. I think the reason they didn't restructure Lewan's salary is because they're willing to let him play this year at 13.69. And then next year, if he gets hurt again, if he gets suspended again, if his game falls off, they're not going to pay him $14.99 million. He would carry a $2 million dead cap hit. You would save yourself $13 million. That is legitimately, in today's NFL economy, three starters, especially knowing the cap goes up the year after that. So right now, thinking about long-term needs, because we talk, again, short-term needs, we all know they need a corner. We all know they need a slot receiver. We all know they need a tight end. Long-term needs, there's a chance. Taylor Lewan's not back next year. Ben Jones is not back next year. Roger Saffold is not back next year. There's also a chance Ryan Tannehill is not back long term. Ryan Tannehill's cap hit right now is $29.5 million. I believe, now this has never been clarified, but I believe that the Titans have an option on the third year. It was essentially a two-year deal, three-ish, and it depends on who you talk to as to whether or not it's a three-year deal, who's reporting, whether it was really a three-year deal or a two-year deal. But I believe that they can get out of it before the start of next league year for his 2022 $34 million cap hit. They can get out for $5 million in 2023, where Tannehill is owed $32 million against the cap. I like Ryan Tannehill plenty, but if he goes into a playoff game this year and throws for 87 yards again and you lose, aren't you going to feel a lot like Kansas City felt when the Titans went in there with Marcus Mariota and a rookie Derrick Henry, or a second-year Derrick Henry, I should say, and knocked off the Chiefs in a playoff game, and that was the end for Alex Smith, and Patrick Mahomes started the next year, and they've never looked back. I'm not saying this year they need to go out and they need to draft Tannehill's replacement, or that they need to use their first-round pick to assume that Taylor Lewan will be hurt or ineffective. I'm just making the case that when we think of needs for the Titans, it's easy to say what they need right now today. But what about long-term? Ben Jones, Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, all of the tight ends, maybe Roger Saffold, maybe Taylor Lewan, maybe Ryan Tannehill. What do you do? What are the immediate needs? What are the long-term needs? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caroline Fenton, you're a need person. So how do you feel when I talk about long-term needs versus short-term needs?
Yeah, well, I think it is something that if you want to build up a franchise, that's what you have to think about long-term. You know, looking at these contracts and looking at the age of your quarterback, looking at the age of your entire team, thinking, okay, might get one, 2 good years out of them. But I'm not going to say that, oh, since Derrick Henry's prime is probably up within the next couple of years, that I'm going to draft Najee Harris if he's available at 22. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that because you need an edge rush. You need a corner. You need a tight end. Not that those necessarily need to be addressed in the first round. It's just you have to prioritize. We have needs this year. They may not play immediately, but they can fill needs in the future. And then next year, whenever your future looks a little bit clearer, Ryan Tannehill is going to probably be gone. And, you know, I'm saying hypothetically, if he's gone in 2022, then we can start looking at a quarterback the following year. So you have to prioritize, you know, is getting the guys that we need right now, or are we planning for the future? And I think you kind of have to find a balance between the two.
Well, I'll give you an extreme example. San Francisco is making that plan right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have traded three first round picks in order to go get a quarterback when they have a starting quarterback. That is San Francisco thinking about the long-term need. Kansas City had a starting quarterback, spent two first round picks. You can argue, if not for a holding call, that Kansas City would have gotten New England in the AFC title game at New England. And they had already gone, I believe, that season to New England and beaten them. You could argue that Kansas City could have been in the Super Bowl. Now, do you take a quarterback there? Now, again, I say you can argue. I guess my point is, hey, we're thinking need. And I hear all the responses every day in the text line. And it's all about, well, Jared, I don't like that because we need. And I'm like, guys, you need a lot of stuff. You're going to need a lot of stuff.
And you will need new things the following year.
We didn't think this time last year, we didn't think Adoree Jackson was going to be released. Mm-hmm. We didn't think Malcolm Butler was going to be released. We didn't think Dennis Kelly was going to be released. We didn't think Isaiah Wilson, the first round pick, would have been the biggest bust in Titans history. We didn't think that. So I just think you have to be a little prepared. And that's where I look at this draft, and I'm not going to go nuts, for example, if John Robinson takes a tackle in the first round this year. I can't do it because long-term, they don't have an answer at right tackle, and we don't know about Taylor Lewan at left tackle. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, the draft show, 5 o'clock tonight. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, is it crazy to start thinking about maybe finding a Ryan Tannehill replacement this year? We'll discuss. Caroline Fenton's here. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the draft, we have unbelievable draft coverage. Again, starting with the draft preview show tonight, and then, of course, the first round on Thursday. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday, April 29th, and Friday, April 30th, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as we'll be broadcasting live Thursday, April 29th from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday, April 30th from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How surreal has this season been, and what did you learn about yourself and about your team through the process?
It's been a wild ride. You know, I think everyone will remember this year due to the fact that it doesn't look like anything like any other year that any of us have ever been a part of. You mentioned it, Zoom in the spring, Zoom during the year, during part of the season, meetings in the bubble, spaced out, you know, wearing trackers everywhere we go, masks everywhere we go, not being able to eat together, spaced out in the locker room. I mean, there's just so many differences between this year and every other year. You know, we were able to adjust to those, to come together as a team through all of that. I'm proud of the way our guys really fought through all the adversity that we faced, the distractions that could have been, and we didn't really allow that to have long-standing effects on us. We really fought through that as a team, came together, and bought into to what we were doing and persevered. So, yeah, I'll look back at this year and remember it for a lot of reasons, some good, some strange, and some not so good.
There you go, Ryan Tannehill. After the season was over, he is the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. He'll be the starting quarterback this year, and chances are he'll be the starting quarterback next year as well. I'm not sitting here saying it's not possible, but Tannehill's contract, now, it depends on whose reporting you believe. When that salary guarantees for 2022, some people say it's already guaranteed, that it guaranteed a month ago. Some people say that the Titans will have, like, it guarantees for injury then, but not for anything else. But Ryan Tannehill's going to be the starter this season for the Titans. What about next year? And I say that from this standpoint, that Ryan Tannehill's going to be 34 years old. We know Ryan Tannehill can still play. So even at 34 years old, he's a serviceable starting quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
We saw the Detroit Lions trade Matthew Stafford and get first-round picks, and Stafford has been through a lot more physically than Tannehill has been and is older than Tannehill. So there could be a market there. It's going to be interesting how this draft plays out for the Titans from this standpoint. Is quarterback on the menu? Right now, Logan Woodside is the backup quarterback. Everybody craps on Logan Woodside all the time. I'm not necessarily going to do it just because I don't think we've seen Logan Woodside play enough. I mean, if Logan Woodside comes in and leads the Titans to victory, everybody will say, oh, John Robinson was a genius for having a backup like Logan Woodside. When I was a kid, the Titans had Neil O'Donnell as the backup quarterback. He was awesome. Then Neil O'Donnell got cut, and Billy Volek, who had never played except in the preseason, all of a sudden is the backup to Steve McNair. Steve McNair gets hurt. Billy Volek gets in there. Hey, Billy Volek didn't look that bad. And that's where this draft comes into play. The Titans are not going to be able to draft any of the top quarterbacks. They won't be able to get Trevor Lawrence. They won't be able to get Zach Wilson. They won't be able to get Mac Jones. They won't be able to get Justin Fields. They won't be able to get Trey Lance. My gut tells me they can get any other quarterback outside of those guys. They will have a chance to draft Kyle Trask. They will have a chance to draft Kellen Mond. They will have a chance to draft Davis Mills. They will have a chance to draft every other quarterback. Now, I'm not the one doing the quarterback picking. And I certainly don't think it is a long-term need yet. Like, I still think, you know, Tannehill's probably the starter for the next 2 years. But don't you want a better backup? And if you can get Davis Mills in the third round, or you can get, like, I'm looking right now at Dane Brugler's rankings, what he grades these guys at. All five guys, you know, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones, all have first-round grades. Mills has a third-round grade. Trask and Kellen Mond have fourth-round grades. Ian Book has a fifth-round grade. Sam Ellinger out of Texas has a sixth or seventh-round grade. So, again, I don't evaluate quarterbacks, and I don't know how to evaluate these guys. But let's say Robinson really likes one of these guys. And I'm not talking about when he drafted Luke Falk in the sixth round, or last year when he drafted the kid out of Hawaii, Cole McDonald, who had no chance of making the team. I'm talking about drafting a guy in the third or fourth round to be the backup to Tannehill next year. And then, who knows? If Tannehill struggles this year, maybe you go into next year with Tannehill as the starter, or you play the kid. Maybe if you like the kid this year, you say, hey, we evaluated Kellen Mond. We thought Kellen Mond was going to be pretty good. He's going to be the future guy. You trade Tannehill away, and you pick up what Detroit just got in exchange for trading away Matthew Stafford. I mean, even Carson Wentz, who was no longer wanted by that coaching staff in Philly, the coaching staff gets fired. He still complains his way out the door. He goes for a third rounder this year and what will most likely be a first rounder next year. That's pretty good. One guaranteed year for Tannehill left after that. Is it totally off the table for this year that they think long-term replacement? Because with him as quarterback, they're never going to be bad enough to be able to draft a first-round quarterback.
I don't think it's totally off the table at all, and I think it could be a serious third- or fourth-round decision. The Titans aren't going to trade up to get Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson. That's just not going to happen. But thinking down the road, and if you fill some of those needs that you absolutely 100% need right now, and maybe they don't absolutely 100% need right now anything in particular, but just to make you feel a little bit better about going into the season.
I mean, they need a starting quarterback for the cornerback.
They need a corner. A tight end would be nice. A pass rusher would be nice. But if you're looking at a guy who has been pretty solid in college, pick him up in the third or fourth round. Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Jamie Newman out of Georgia. Let him sit the bench for a year or two. Learn the offense. Get bigger. Learn from Ryan Tannehill, a guy who has been incredibly successful with this team. I don't think it's a bad move.
So I watched the documentary on the 2001 Patriots. And everybody knows the story, right? Brady drafted in the sixth round. He's the third quarterback behind Michael Bishop in 2000. Michael Bishop goes to, like, the Arena League or gets cut or whatever. And Brady goes in that second year to compete with, I think, Damon Heward for the backup job to Drew Bledsoe. Belichick on the documentary, it's America's Game, the NFL Network documentary, Belichick says that he knew at training camp that year that Brady was better than Bledsoe. He knew. But he's not going to take Drew Bledsoe out of the starting lineup. I'm not saying, again, the idea of a Tom Brady thing is just a total, it's a lottery ticket. It's this belief that, oh my God, I mean, like, you know, sixth round guy, 199, greatest quarterback ever. That's not natural. But then again, the Titans, when they try to do it the old fashioned way, they end up with Vince Young. They end up with Marcus Mariota. They traded a fourth round pick for a guy who failed in Miami, and now he's their franchise quarterback. So all these things come in different sizes, shapes, colors, forms, how you get them, everything. And I just wonder if that's on the mind. Because the first need, and again, how big of a need is it? I don't know. But the first need for the Titans would be the backup quarterback need. Then it would be, hey, getting a young guy, developing a young guy. And if you feel like that second year, he's capable, then I think you can feel confident. You can learn this probably quick enough to probably say, okay, we're ready to make a move on Tannehill. Let's get a bunch of picks in return. I also think, I go back to trades, you trade out of the first round, you pick up another second and a third, that's where you can get Davis Mills and not feel terrible about it. That's where you can get Kyle Trask and not feel terrible about it. But I wonder if it's out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction on it. Plus, looking at a Titans standpoint, kind of what do we know about the quarterbacks? I know that we're talking about all the good quarterbacks all the time. Everybody wants to know, you know, Fields, what he projects as. But again, the Titans have no chances at those guys. What about the other guys? We'll get to that coming up next. Edmunds, buying a car. Trust me, buying or selling a car is one of the biggest financial decisions you can make. Edmunds will take the headaches and guesswork out of car shopping for you. They're pros, and they've been helping people like you and me for over 50 years. Edmunds.com was the first auto information website. They're experts at buying and selling. So, wherever you are in the process, Edmunds can help. They've got tons of local listings for new and used vehicles with deal ratings that will help you decide if an offer is fair or not. Not sure where to start looking? The Edmunds editorial team test drives over 300 new vehicles a year, reviewing almost every car on the market so you can narrow down your search to their top-ranked SUVs, trucks, and more. You don't have time to go test drive all these different cars that you're thinking about. You just don't have time. So just go ahead and get behind the Edmunds wheel and let them take care of all the work. Whether you're just browsing or you know exactly what you want, Edmunds gives you that extra boost of confidence. Visit Edmunds.com to get started. For cars, there's Edmunds.
Kellen Mond and Davis Mills from Stanford are the two kind of jockeying to be the sixth quarterback taken. And I'll talk about Mills here. It's certainly someone that coaches specifically just love. You know, they love his film. They love the makeup. He's a former top recruit who's kind of got everything you would want. It really seems like just the health has given teams some pause. It's not like he's off board. Just they got to be a little bit cautious. He's had several knee surgeries, none since 2008. Has had no recent issues, but that at least is giving some teams some pause. But certainly someone who could come in, be a backup right away, and then potentially emerge as a future starter.
There you go. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, Ian Book. All those guys are out there in this year's draft. Again, we know the Titans are not going to be able to draft any of the top quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, all going to be gone by the 22nd pick. Nor would I really want the Titans to draft any of those guys unless they had the chance to draft Trevor Lawrence. But what about those guys as a backup, especially if you trade back, especially if you pick up another pick, especially if, and I know, again, these are all hypotheticals, but isn't the draft a total hypothetical? Remember the Dallas Cowboys in 2016? Tony Romo had the broken collarbone the year before. They weren't very good. They drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. Jerry lamented the fact that they didn't trade back into the first round to grab Paxton Lynch. Denver beat him to it. Then Jerry wanted Connor Cook. And like one pick before Dallas was about to pick, the Raiders took Connor Cook out of Michigan State. So now Jerry just, we got to have a quarterback. So they draft Dak Prescott in the fourth round. And Dak went into camp as the third string guy. Kellen Moore, their current offensive coordinator, breaks his leg in training camp. He's out. Tony hurts his collarbone again in the preseason. He's out. Dak's the starter. They go to the playoffs. Tony goes to CBS. That's it. I mean, again, crazier things have happened. And then I think the other question too, Caroline, What do we think about these guys? I mean, we've seen Kyle Trask play. We've seen Kellen Mond play. I really haven't seen Davis Mills play. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, we haven't seen those guys play. So, I don't know, you know, much about Davis Mills. We've seen Ian Book play. How would you rank it? If you were the Titans and you had to have a backup quarterback and you had to pick between, let's take Davis Mills out of Stanford out of this, unless you feel comfortable enough on talking about what he's done as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, Ian Book, who's the best backup to Tannehill, or who projects long-term to be the best?
I would probably say Kyle Trask, just in his recent success at Florida. And if you set him up with some pretty quality receivers, I mean, we saw what he was able to do with Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts as his pass catchers at Florida.
Sure.
And I would say just in terms of just a coachable guy, a guy who quote unquote loves ball, I would say that Kyle Trask would be a great fit. And then sliding in just beneath him, I think would be Ian Book.
I don't think Ian Book's a pro quarterback. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy.
Sure.
I think Mond has more talent. And I keep thinking about the mobility. Like, Tannehill is not a mobility guy, but Tannehill can move. And I think, like, Mond is not a big mobility guy, but Mond can move. But I feel like Trask is the better player. Like, I feel like Mond has more talent and the potential of being, like, I'm not going to say Mond has Dak Prescott's potential, because people keep forgetting Dak Prescott took Mississippi State to number one in the country. You don't do that in Mississippi State. So I'm not going to say Kellen Mond has Dak's potential, but Kellen Mond, I think, is a, you know, he's a more of that kind of prospect than Kyle Trask is. To me, Kyle Trask profiles as a career backup.
But if you think about who coached Dak Prescott in college when they were number one, Dan Mullen, who is Kyle Trask's coach. I'm not saying that that's, you know, everything, but it definitely is a tie-in.
I think it's certainly worth discussing. I mean, Felipe Franks, for example, who turned Arkansas's program around, Felipe Franks couldn't cut it for Mullen. Now, I know he got hurt, but Trask was Mullen's guy more so than Franks was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably at least should be something worth looking at. Tom Pelissero says the Titans are signing some defensive tackle I've never heard of. According to Tom Pelissero, the Titans are signing defensive tackle Bruce Hector. Do we care about that at all?
Believe he came out of Philly.
Is he any good?
I know nothing about him.
He has not played very much at all. No.
Okay. So we're not, I don't think that that's probably worth discussing at length, but I don't know. If he was any good, then we'd say, hey, you know, maybe it changes the draft. Who knows?
Let's
go to your phones. It is a body. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Phones driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bill, kick us off. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared, it's an interesting topic, but I think you have this window right now with Tannehill, Henry. You got to be shooting for the Super Bowl, especially Robinson, you know, had the misplay with the offensive linemen. Anything first through fourth round, they have to be starters. They have to be helping them win a championship.
So I'm going to ask you this question, Bill.
What's that?
I'm going to ask you this. When Green Bay was in the playoffs all the time with Brett Favre, was their window not open when they drafted Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is different. You think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers?
Did you think that they thought they were getting Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I
think it's more important. This thing that you're saying, I think it's more important that you get a serviceable backup, that if Tannehill gets knocked out a game or two, a Colt McCoy or Tyrod Taylor or something like that, that can get in there and win a game to help you keep it on the Super Bowl. That project's fine, but I wouldn't waste a high draft pick for it.
Okay, what about Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City? Kansas City, you talk about windows. Kansas City was number two in the AFC the year that they decided to draft Patrick Mahomes and sit him on the bench. They used two first-round picks to get Mahomes. Would you be against that pick if the Titans did the same thing next week?
No, if you think Trey Lawrence is there, Trey, whatever his name is, the one from the smaller school, if you think he, or Lance, whatever his name is, if you think that he's like the next Mahomes, all right, trade up and get him. But if you're just like getting somebody that can be a backup in a project, get it in the later rounds then.
Okay, Bill, thank you for your call. What if... I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know anything about Trey Lance. I'm not going to pretend. What if Trey Lance falls past Carolina at 8? What if he falls to Denver at 9? What if he falls to the Cowboys at 10? Would you, and you love them. And I'm just saying, just, you know, you are the Titans. You love them. Cause remember, Trubisky was the number one quarterback off the board in 17. Watson was, I think a lot of people had ranked as the second. Now Mahomes, I believe, came off the second. But I think a lot of people thought Mahomes might be a second round guy. Talking about the Mel Kuypers and the, clearly the league didn't think that because Kansas City jumped up. But I keep going back to this. What if you love Trey Lance? Would you trade your first round pick and your first round pick next year in order to do it? If you love him, if you think he's Mahomes, would you trade the first this year and the first next year? And the easier element of this that maybe makes it a little bit more okay is that you know you're probably getting a first back if you trade Tannehill next year. That if you go to a team, there will be a team out there that thinks they're a quarterback away from competing. There will be a team that wins 9 or 10 games next year and makes it to the playoffs. And like the Chicago Bears this year, just have no quarterback and are like, Lord, please send us a quarterback. And you can send that team Ryan Tannehill.
If you could guarantee that, I still would be so leery of it because we all saw what happened with the Titans' first round pick this past year. If you trade up in the first round and trade the following year's first round to get this guy and you're putting so much stock into this one guy and it doesn't work out, that's 2 years, 2 years back to back that you blew a first round pick. And I hate to let last year's draft influence anything that happens moving forward, but I think that the Titans need to be very cognizant.
It's actually 3 years.
3 years.
Because you're trading next year's number one. The only way you get up to take Trey Lance, and I think this is if Trey Lance is the fifth guy off the board. I think he is too. But, I mean, you're trading next year's first. So if Trey Lance sucks, you're burning through 3 first-round picks when you include Isaiah Wilson. But, again, I keep wondering what these callers would have said, you know, if they had had a topic. Again, Kansas City finished second in the AFC. They hosted Pittsburgh in the divisional round of the playoffs, and they lost to the Steelers. And they lost to the Steelers on a holding call at the end of the game. That's how close it was. A lot of teams have lost to Big Ben in the playoffs. They're not the first. So it would have been very easy for Kansas City to say, hey, Alex isn't the greatest quarterback in the world, but Alex is still pretty good. We got a window now. We're second in the AFC. We've got a nice defense. We've got Alex. So, you're saying you have to be certain. I don't think Andy Reid and Brent Veach, I don't think they were certain then.
You're never going to be certain.
No, unless you're drafting Andrew Luck. You're never going to be certain. So to me, the one thing I would say is if I'm John Robinson, if I was a general manager, I know that a decision like that could get me fired. But if it's truly the decision that I believe in, then I think I'm willing to take that chance to get fired if it's what I really believe in. Because I'd rather get fired having gone down with what I believe in than playing it safe. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your reaction on this. Your calls, your text. 615-737-1025. What about Tannehill? What about the future? And, you know, the caller brought up the good idea the idea in my head that was, hey, what about it? What about moving, you know, and going to go get Trey Lance? You know, if you love the guy. I don't know enough about Trey Lance. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in. Also, we will be giving away things in the 4 o'clock hour, so be listening for your opportunity there. Be sure to tune in every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com. Enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Caroline Fenton's here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, by the way, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning at 8:45 when the Predators have a weekday game this season for your chance to participate in Preds Hit the Click. You can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning. By the way, Crispy will join us later today, but we're talking about the Titans And the draft 1 week away. Caroline and I will be doing the show, our first remote together. We will be on location at Third and Home right there at the at First Horizon Park, the bar with the ballpark. And then the draft show will be later that night with me, Chris Sanders, TD, and of course, Mark Howard going to be with us. But again, quarterback position. Everybody would have said in 2005, had the Tennessee Titans with the fifth overall pick where they took Pac-Man Jones, had they taken Aaron Rodgers, everybody would have said that they were crazy. Instead, why, they had a starting quarterback in Steve McNair. They wanted to take another shot at it with that group. They took Pac-Man. We know how that worked out. The next year, they draft Vince Young. These things come at you very quickly in this league. So I guess we're kind of kicking around the idea. Fields is available. You can trade up. You love him. Lance is available. You trade up. You love him. What do you do? Do you do it? Do you take the risk Andy Reid was willing to take? Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what's in the text line?
Tyler from Berry Hills said you can definitely be looking for a backup quarterback, but if you're going to waste a prime draft asset on some project that might be a possible fringe starter, then you're asking to be mirrored in mediocrity. If you think you have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl in Tannehill and Derrick Henry's prime, you can't always be thinking about the future and not addressing pressing needs.
Sometimes I think people believe that these teams draft guys knowing what the end result is going to be. Right? Like, did they draft a guy and they know, hey, we know this guy is going to come in and get 15 sacks a year. And there are so many different factors that go into play on it. I mean, I'll use you as an example, Caroline Fenton.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty good feeling about your ability long term. I have a pretty good feeling.
That's awfully nice
about
of you.
Your development. Well,
thank you.
We probably wouldn't have hired you if we didn't feel that way. But I don't know how your career is going to end up. I have a pretty good feeling about it. I felt like, you know, when we were looking to do what we were looking to do, I felt like, hey, you know, Caroline Fenton can literally do everything that we need, everything that we want. You didn't have a ton of on-air experience when we hired you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. Now, I think that by being on this show, I think that working with us, you're going to develop better. But if you had gone somewhere and taken a job and they didn't develop you at all, and you learned a bunch of bad habits, and you, that's not really your fault, but maybe you go somewhere else, you work with somebody who's a total jerk, and you're just like, I'm out of it, I'm done. And I think that that's kind of how the draft works, right? Is these guys, they think, they feel good, like in their hearts, they think, okay, this is something we could do. But I don't think that general managers, this idea of like, hey, if you use a prime draft pick on a fringe guy, then, I mean, if they think he's a fringe guy, they're not going to draft him. Right now, like, again, I don't think Mac Jones is the third best player in this draft. I don't think he's the third best quarterback, and I'm not sure you can win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones. Kyle Shanahan thinks you can, so Kyle Shanahan's going to try it. So I guess that's the thing I'm saying is, like, yeah, I think sometimes you have these hunches. But Les Steckel, the old offensive coordinator of the Oilers and Titans, Les Steckel told me there was discussion in the room about whether or not Steve McNair could play quarterback at the NFL level. Steve McNair won an MVP. Not everybody in that room thought Steve McNair could win an MVP. And that's the way that I look at this is, hey, again, you may not love a guy. If John Robinson knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes, don't you think he would have drafted him fifth overall instead of Corey Davis? If he knew what Corey Davis was going to be, and he knew what Patrick Mahomes was going to be, don't you think he would have drafted Mahomes? It's not that simple. Like, again, I think they look at it like, hey, there's a lot there to work with, which is exactly what I felt about Caroline. I cannot tell you, and I'm not, this is not the Pump Caroline's Tires Hour, but I cannot tell you the amount of people in the last 5 days that have reached out to me and said, man, the show sounds great with Caroline on it. I mean, at least 15 people.
That's really nice. Thank you.
And the thing I think when I hear that is good. Like, you know, that's what we want. But that's 2 weeks in. What's it going to be 6 months in? What's it going to be a year in? You know, that's the way I think about it. And I think that's the way these general managers feel about it. They would love, you know, A.J. Brown burst onto the scene as a rookie. Had a big game his first game against Cleveland. Had a huge game against Atlanta, I think his third or fourth game. And I, you know, there were a lot of people like, whoa, A.J. Brown's pretty good. In fact, I remember a topic on this show was who's going to have the better career, Corey Davis or A.J. Brown. I just want everybody to know that I rightfully picked A.J. Brown. But I don't think that we thought 1,000 yards back-to-back years, borderline rookie of the year, Pro Bowl, like right away. And I think that's how these guys are presented. I don't think Robinson thought that when he drafted A.J. Brown. I think he hoped it. But I don't think he thought, oh, yeah, I'm getting a Pro Bowler right away. What else in the text line?
Bart from Arizona said, I think if a quarterback they like starts to slip and they think he is the future, then I'd be okay with it considering the depth at positions this year. But if you have to be sure that he's the guy, which you can never be sure about, but you have to be sure that he's the guy you want now instead of potentially getting a guy in 2022. But if you look at the guys you could potentially get in 2022, Spencer Rattler, who has, you know, hyped up so much going into Oklahoma, didn't really do anything.
I didn't watch a single Oklahoma game. I can't stand watching Big 12 football.
He didn't do much. You have Sam Howell, who had a pretty good year at UNC. You have Brock Purdy from Ohio State, who had a pretty good year. I'm sorry, Iowa State, who had a pretty good year. So if you're looking at 2022 and you say, oh, yeah, Brock Purdy is our guy, then don't even worry about a quarterback this year. But I don't know if they're necessarily thinking if there's a guy that they really, really want in 2022.
Well, there's no guarantee that guy's going to be able to in a spot for you to draft them.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the other part is that guy going to be available?
You don't know where you're drafting in 2022.
And I have no idea about any of these guys. The Buffalo Bills moved up to get Josh Allen. Like, people forget that. The Buffalo Bills moved up to get Josh Allen. And there were a lot of question marks around Josh Allen. There were a lot of question marks after his first and second year about Josh Allen. Now everybody thinks, oh, you know, Josh Allen's pretty good. Lamar Jackson fell 32nd, last pick of the first round. Lamar Jackson's pretty good. Alexander is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Alexander.
Hey, Garrett. Thank you for taking my call. Love the show. And in regards to Zach Wilson, I think that it would be insane to move up and take a quarterback. I feel like Zach Wilson, he's all smoke screens, and I feel like whoever takes them early in the draft is doing their draft a disservice. I feel like Pat Mahomes, we knew who Pat Mahomes was because he had that year to sit down. We even saw him have the phenomenal preseason. So I feel like when they went into next year, Andy Reid already knew they had their guy and they were ready to get rid of Alex Smith. So the only way I would take a quarterback is if we had a year to sit him and just let him maturate and do his thing. But I believe that the Titans have an awesome nucleus, and we should just build around this. And I want to believe in Ryan Tannehill for one more year. So,
thank you for your call, Alexander. I'm not saying I don't believe in Tannehill. Don't misconstrue this talk as I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. I mean, wouldn't you have a year? Like, you have a year to sit him. Ryan Tannehill's the starting quarterback next year. Oh, yeah, but definitely one year.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, like when Jordan Love got drafted in the first round last year by the Packers, I don't think anybody thought that Jordan Love was going to be the starter that year. And I'm not sure most of us thought Jordan Love was going to be the starter this year. So, I mean, again, Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill also, I'll just keep it real about Tannehill. I could see Tannehill going into the playoffs this year and throwing for 173, an interception, Titans not winning the game, we can blame it on whatever. And at that point, the fans now that are like, I want to give it a go with Tannehill. I believe in Tannehill. I want to go with Tannehill. Then at that point saying, I don't think he can get it done for us. These things happen very quickly. You know, the shifting of feelings on a guy. It's not all like Marcus, where it was really just like a, you know, up, 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 then starting to come down, 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 crash. You know, it wasn't like that. I mean, remember, Vince Young shot up, shot down, shot up, shot down. I mean, it's not as fluid, I think, as people want to make it out to be. More your reaction on this next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company, plus the Preds last night. I don't have a feeling about that. I want to get to. Crispy will be next hour as well. And our draft show's at 5 o'clock. We are just freaking loaded. And we're giving stuff away next hour as well. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.